Can you guys hear me? Is this on? All right, awesome. So let's talk 2017. Anything major happen?
Nothing?
Yeah. You guys got married? Tim and Kim got married?
Woo!
Ooh, what?
What?
What? What? What? Marquita? Man. Marquita, you. I had a baby. We had a baby. My wife and I had a baby. Yep, our second baby. You guys got some dogs? Yeah, the Warner's house is a zoo. Your family acquired a church, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Kauai acquired a pastor. What? Yep. Paul got ordained. And I got ordained as well. Really neat stuff. And my dad got married. I got to marry my dad, you guys. I married my own father. Yeah.
It's kind of off to the side.
Oh, yeah.
So you're really muffled?
Yeah, okay. Thank you. We got a missions trip.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah, I didn't wear a tie. I didn't wear a tie. It's 2018, so I'm not going to wear a tie when I preach this year, I guess. No more ties. So we're just about to tie off 2017. Does anybody know what's next before we can tie it off? Taxes! All right. We made money in 2017, yeah? We made some money. We spent some money. We got into debt, whatever. And in order to tie off the year, we're going to pay some taxes, yeah? I'm excited because usually you get something back. We just had a baby and whatnot. However, some people don't feel the need to pay them. I was looking up some stories, and I think the highest fraud account is like $2 billion, and it's a pair of brothers. One of them's dead, but they're still like charging his name the money, some of it. And the other guy, of course, you know, he's in prison now, but yeah. So this is a warning. Pay your tax. Yeah, we all get it, right? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. All right, I got a story here. Missouri woman sentenced for stealing from her employer and filing false returns. We're going to share some tax stories, all right? So on June 29th, 2015, in Springfield, Missouri, Patricia Culbertson, Missouri, was sentenced to 24 months in prison and ordered to pay $412,000 in restitution to the business and the government. On December 4th, 2014, Culberson pleaded guilty to bank fraud and filing a tax return falsely. According to court documents, Culberson worked for Barrington Manufacturing Corporation as a bookkeeper until she was suspended. I wonder why. Culbertson forged the company's owner's signature on checks, company checks, and bank accounts without authorization in order to cover her gambling debts and for other personal expenses. Yeah. Like, I'll just keep gambling. I can pay for it for free. Or he'll pay for it. On hundreds of occasions, Culbertson stole the identity of various company officials, forged their signatures, wrote unauthorized checks on the company's operating account and a separate account created to provide financial assistance, blah, 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 blah. The checks were either deposited into her personal account, bank accounts of her mother and her son, or the bank account of her company, PC Tech. In 2014, agents spoke with Culbertson at her home and observed Barrington's financial records that had been removed from the business office. Agents immediately seized and preserved those financial records. After completing their investigation, agents determined that Culbertson destroyed and stole financial documents in an effort to conceal the true scope of her crimes. So she might have done, you know, a lot more. They don't know. Culbertson failed to report this embezzled income on her federal income tax returns for the years, for the years 2010 through 2013. Culbertson's actions resulted in a total loss to the federal government of, this is such a small number, $60,000? I thought it would be more. The total tax loss to the state of Missouri was $14,000. I don't know what to say, right?
It's only like 10% of the money that she took.
Yeah, so it's like...
So that's like $600,000.
Here's the thing. Yeah. The government never should have gotten that money because she never should have gotten that income. So they didn't...
Well, maybe it's that.
She should have never gotten that
money. A lawyer. We have a lawyer. This is great. You're, I love that. I'm with you. Yeah. Right. So do you guys? Yeah. It's like, yeah. If you're stealing money, that's even more reason to report it because it's not your money. Why not just pay them? It's not your money. You see what I'm saying? If you're stealing it, then it's. Then at least be honest about it. If it's not your money to begin with, well, why do you care if you give it back to the... Anyway, okay. So, I love this. Oh. So, back to today. My wife isn't here and my children aren't here. This is weird for me. But my wife is doing a pop-up shop over here in Costa Mesa. And I don't think she's going to report any of her income. It's like, what do? Like, garage sales, you don't really report that, do you? Are you supposed to? Okay, well, maybe she will.
If you do it once, you're fine. But if it's an ongoing thing, you have to get a seller's permit and a resale number. And then that's how you able to report your earnings.
Okay.
But in the eyes of the Lord, you should report everything you've taken.
Everything, yeah.
That's what you type.
Right. Gross. We could have our head deacon explain all the tithing. No, just kidding. Sorry, Jeremy. It's like
10% of everything.
We got a brand new. The brand new pastor is gonna. He's gonna preach on tithing, homosexuality, and you know, like the hardest sermons. Anyway, sorry. That was a side. Jeremy knows what I'm talking about. I'm not preaching about tithing today. I'm not preaching about homosexuality. I'm gonna preach about stewardship today. So we get the idea of, you know, giving Uncle Sam what he is due, correct? It's like, people complain about taxes, but really, I'm like, okay, I have clean water, you know, our if our daughter, you know, has an emergency, we can call 911, and they're there right away. That happened last year. It's like, man, this is good. Like, why is this such a big deal? Like, why not just pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God? It shouldn't be that big of a deal. But we get greedy, and you can look on the IRS website, and there's like lists, and people owe hundreds of thousands to the government. It's like, really? If you owe that much, that means you were making, you know, this many dollars. Like, what's, you know, 20% of that? Like, who cares, you know? But that's just me. So we get the idea of giving back what is due, and of course, you hear, you know, I say, yeah, give the government their money. It's no big deal. I enjoy living in America with this clean water, and, you know, we get to go to the store and buy a hot dog, and it's just great. Cable and whatever. Bless you. So we've been going through Mark, and we're at a part of the story where Jesus goes into Jerusalem, the Mecca of religion of the day, and that'd be like our Vatican. And Jesus is starting to duke it out with the religious leaders. And it's just blow after blow. They have these different topics they bring up, and today we're going to look at one of them. So we're in Mark 12. And this gospel Mark, it really picks up right here. The pace starts to increase. And if you could just look at these exchanges, like the one Danny shared about with the fig tree, and then they asked him, "Where's your authority from?" These are just like, it's like a duking match, you know, duke out with Max Baer and Muhammad Ali. I mean, this is just like intense literature right now. All right, Mark 12. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug up a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard, and they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and they killed him. And so with many others they beat him, and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to the others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is just grievous. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 5. This is where this language Jesus is using is from. And the Pharisees, they all know this prophecy right here, Isaiah 5. It's a... an account of just something going wrong. The Lord uses a marriage imagery in Song of Songs. There's like a love relationship going on, and this song is that relationship going awry. It's just like, this is not how it was supposed to go. Has anyone ever been electrocuted? Steven? You know how that happens?
Yeah, I know how it happens. I mess up.
So you came in contact with basically the current grounded itself through you, right? And in electrician line of work, you're never supposed to bootleg, because what could happen is if you move the ground wire back to the machine, the machine's hot now. It's basically just this ready to electrocute you item. I said that weird. But it's just, okay, you're supposed to have a positive, and then it goes to the motor, and then the negative comes out of the motor and back into the source, right? It's just a flow. Well, what happens is there's a short circuit, and the flow never goes back to the source. And it's a lot like that with the Lord. It's like he's going to give us, you know, this love, and it should be returned in worship. You know, he gives you these gifts, and you return it in worship, and you say thank you. But what happens is in Jerusalem was they just sat on it, you know. Thanks, Lord, for this new promised land. It's really nice here. You know, see you later. I'm not gonna report any of my earnings. You know, I'm just going to sit on it. And, really, it's just, back to the taxing, it's like, it's just 20%, you know? Like, the Lord just wants a thank you. But we get greedy. It's just grievous. And it's not like I'm any different. It's just a look at the human heart, and it is sad. It's sad to see God's heart in this. Isaiah 5, let me sing for my beloved, my song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of its stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it. He honed out a wine vat in it. He took for it to yield grape. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. It's like, that is wrong. It's not supposed to go that way. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? The Lord's like, what have I not given you? I heard Adam say one time, like, the saying of, in Italian, I don't know how to say it, but, like, I sent you to school, I paid for your school, but you sat in the middle of the floor and tore the pages out of the book. It's like, I do whatever I can, I do my part. How about you? Have you done your part? And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? When I looked for it to yield wild grapes, why did it yield? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. He's saying, I sent out this positive current, and it just got stuck there in the motor, and it's just overheating. It's going to shock everybody that comes near it. This is bad, you know? You're supposed to ground it back to me. He's saying, I love you. I love you. This is a relationship. Aren't you going to love me back? Why is your heart so hard, you know? Why are you shut off to me? Why do you shut yourself off? And I find that for me, a lot of sin just comes out from, like, I'm just withholding myself from the Lord, you know? I just withhold and just say, no, I don't want you to touch that or whatever. And that's just short-circuiting the whole system. In Matthew 23, we see the woes to the Pharisees. You can turn with me to Matthew 23 now. Verses 29-38. You think the Mark account is bad? This is way worse. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. And usually we just, for me, it's like, I get so twitchy about this stuff. Like, wow, the Lord is coming down so hard, you know? Like, wow. And then just sort of, it keeps me from what's really going on. Look at verse 37, okay? Don't harden your heart, just stay soft and listen to the Lord's rebukes. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and the stones, those who are sent to it. Oh, kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together? As a hen gathers her, I can't see when I'm crying, gathers her brood under her wings. But you were not willing. It's like, sorry. See, your house is left desolate. He's saying it's your doing. It's not mine. I have love for you. It's like we're just twitchy. Like I imagine, you know, an abused kid or abused dog, and they've got this owner, and the owner's like, here's the food, and it's right here, and the dog's like, ah. And they're like, no, it's good for you. Like, I'm going to take care of you. And the dog's just like twitchy and barking, and it's like our human hearts are just greedy, and we just, like, the Lord has love for us, and we don't say thanks. We're like, thanks for the salvation, Lord. I just want to get, you know, high and drunk now. And I don't want to, and this isn't me. I'm just saying, like, no. It's like, you know, it's like, dear Lord, thanks for blessing our church with all these people. And, you know, we're just going to sit on the cash and, you know, look nice, and you know, in society, everybody thinks we're just these noble people. It's like, no, that's short-circuiting the system. Like, you're supposed to be giving to the poor. You're supposed to be, like, justice to the orphans and taking care of the widows. And instead, you guys just multiply and sit in a big church and have this amazing, you know, worship service to feel good. And, you know, it's like, just beware of where our hearts are. That's all. Beware that our hearts are twitchy, and it's important to watch them and say, okay, am I letting the Lord touch this? Am I, when the Lord comes knocking on your door and says, hey, it's time for those fruits, are you going to just slam the door on them and, you know, and like the Israelites did? So it's a warning to us. I feel like I got a little sidetracked there, but the heart of the Lord is so good. He's for us. And like the vineyard analogy, it's like this. If you read Song of Solomon, it's just this fruitful love and marriage, and that's what the Lord wants for us. And Lord willing, like, let's love him back. Let's love him back. He's given us everything we need. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us all the grace you could ever want. He's given us the Word, each other, this church. Let's give back to the Lord what is due. Not that we have anything that's like really great to give him. Like Kenny said, like, let's face it, nobody here is really that great. But what did he say last week? I went, oh, it's so good. It's like, that is so true. Like, this is not about like our, you know, this is not about, this is like my example, but like a good sermon, like, oh, this good sermon, like, yeah, I'm a good preacher. Like, no, it's that God's good. It should be pointing to God. Like, any good preacher you've ever heard, don't praise him, but praise God that gave him those gifts, you know? That's how it should go down. Okay, back to Mark 12. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. So Jesus just called him out that you've killed all these prophets, and by the way, you're going to kill me too. And it's so cool to see that Jesus is just untouchable. He is just like dodging the left jab, you know, moving back from the uppercut, and boom, he knocks those scribes like right on their keister. He is just like, he is untouchable. He's like, by the way, you're going to crucify me, but not yet, because I won't let you yet, you know. He is just amazing. Have you guys seen that Muhammad Ali photo of him like standing over the body with his shirt off? Yeah, that's a good photo right there. Muhammad Ali. I don't know why I said your shirt up. Sorry, I was thinking I could do that pose, but I'd have to take my shirt off, and I'm like, that's not going to happen. So, oh, Lord. So they perceived they couldn't arrest him because of the people, and they feared the people. So they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. And they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion. They're like this. But truly, you teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. And they brought one, and he said to them, Whose inscription is this? So the coins back then, you know, it had Caesar's face. Whose inscription is this? And whose likeness is on it? And they said to him, Caesar's. So Jesus goes, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marvel at him. So this is a really, really cool how Jesus kind of just gets out of this trap, no problem, scot-free. And he sticks it to him like, okay, this is money. Let's see if I have any. Actually, I do. Vacation money. So he's like, look, this is for Caesar. This is fine. Just give it to him. But you and me, we've got the image of Christ. We've got the image of God. And you need to give that to him. He's like, don't withhold yourself. Like, this is Caesar's. Yeah, whatever. Give it to him. Don't be greedy. Who cares? And don't be greedy with your soul either. That's the Lord's. You need to offer yourself as a sacrifice to him. Live holy. And the Lord, Jesus in that scripture, it's like boom, boom, boom. And the scribes just fall down and, man, everybody's just amazed. The way he speaks with his words, it's amazing. And for us today, it's like sometimes church is maybe a heavy message and sometimes it's light, and today it's just a little heavy, I guess, and it's good. It's good because the Lord rebukes those he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. And there's a proverb that's real scary, and it's he who is rebuked yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond repair. And that's basically what we're seeing here in this passage. God's like, all right, the Jews just haven't got it. I want to hold them so close under my arms, but they are just short-circuited. They are just not giving back. They're not giving back. This isn't how a relationship works. This is not working. He etch-a-sketches. He's like, all right, Gentiles, the world, you guys have it. You have my heart. You have my love. Now, it's kind of like, what are we going to do with it? And I just pray that parable, you know, at the end of days is made right. Like, the Lord comes and knocks. He's like, all right, where are my fruits? And we're like, here, you know, here, take it. Oh, would you please give our love to the master? Like, thank you so much for letting us stay in this vineyard. We love it here. It's beautiful. We have food for our children. We have clean water. Thank you so much. When is he going to be back? Like, when can we give him more? Like, next year? Like, we'll have a bigger harvest for him next year. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And please, like, have the master come. Like, we miss him. We just want to see him. Can he come next time? That's how it should go. So for you and I, it's a matter of where's our hearts? Where's our hearts? Are we loving the Lord? Are we giving him what is due? And Ephesians 4 actually fits quite nicely. I was talking to Marquita about this too, but it feels like the Lord is giving us Ephesians 4 this year as a church. It's kind of like, this is what I expect from you guys, you know? This is what I want to see. I want to see these fruits in FWC. Like, I've given you all you have, all you need. You guys are good. Let's do this. And of course, you guys, it's all from the Lord. I mean, don't think we can do this without him ever. It's like he gives us the breaths to breathe, and so we thank him. You know, he gives us the eyes to see, and so we look for his glory. He gives us the hands, and so we you know, we just build and glorify him. It's not ever without him. Like, we can never get greedy and think, oh, we don't need you. Like, send that servant back, you know, we kill the servant. Oh, my gosh. It's horrendous. It's total tax fraud. All right, Ephesians 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Skip down. And he gave the gifts. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, these are his gifts, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, the body makes the body grow so that it is build up itself in love. So we come to church and we worship the Lord. I love the dancing. I love how we worship here. And the Lord's like, you know, through Paul, he's like, you want to give back and say thanks? Like, live this way. This is good for you. This is how this circuit's supposed to go. You're supposed to look like me. And by His grace, may we do so. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you. We're so sorry for breaking your heart over and over. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you put your Spirit into us and give us gifts. We know the best we can do is like finger paintings. And you still love them. Lord, be glorified. To your glory. Amen.